I'm going to ask you not just to listen to my prayer this morning, but to invite in your own heart this morning, invite the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. We come, maybe weary and maybe tired as we enter into an early morning, and yet, Father, we have come with what never changes, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the call that we give you our very best. As a matter of fact, it's not just the best we give you everything this morning. There is nothing that is not yours in our lives, and Lord, that includes the mercy to cover our weaknesses and our failures. Lord, some of us come this morning discouraged at what we see in our homes, and yet you would say this morning, my mercy is new every morning. My mercy, my joy, my goodness, my favor, my grace is new and fresh in your home this morning because I am the ever-living God, I am the risen one, and I am with you. So, Lord, we declare, as the Scripture says, that there is now no condemnation in Jesus Christ for those who love you this morning. We rebuke any work of the enemy to allow weariness or condemnation, shame or discouragement, any darkness at all. There is no darkness in you. You are light. And this morning, we allow light to fill us this morning, not because we search in our own efforts and our own actions to find light, but we declare, Lord, and we are filled with light because we look to you who is light, and there is no darkness in you this morning. And every doubt and every accusation and every work of discouragement must flee in the light this morning. So, Lord, we invite you to come and to put us in right position for all of the grace, all of the mercy, all of the faithfulness, the loving kindness, the chesed that never leaves us, the shalom that is ours in Christ and Christ alone. Lord, you are faithful this morning. So, Lord, we declare that in you there is light in us this morning. And we have seen it. Lord, we hear it afresh and anew. And as John would say, we touch it this morning. We touch that fresh light, that fresh word, that fresh gift that only comes from you. We come to it by the Spirit. And as we'd say, we share it because we want our joy to be complete. Because, Lord, as much as you bring joy from your presence, it's never complete until those around us experience, because, Lord, you just make us hunger for even more joy. Lord, right now, we ask that you would send forth a word of blessing to those in our home and those in our hearts this morning. And we ask, as the disciples asked, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Lord, it may be more than words, what we should say is teach our hearts to love. Because we don't know how to love if we don't get loved back. We don't know how to love if we're not encouraged or appreciated in our love. Lord, teach us to love this morning because you loved us first. Because you showed us what love is. Because love is complete in you. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would change the very direction of our heart this morning. As Psalm 121 would say, we lift up our eyes unto the hills. And we have no fear of what is beneath us or directly in front of us because of what is above us and guiding us. Move among your people this morning as you already have. Continue your work. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to encourage you this morning that there is a gift that we have in praying for others, but as this scripture shows us, if we're not going to be thankful, we're probably not going to intercede. When's the last time you said thank you to someone just for being them? In the midst of all the things they're doing wrong, when's the last time you said thank you for something they've done right? Maybe even better, maybe for nothing they've done, but maybe for who they are. You know, one of the struggles we have as God's people is our mind is always ahead of our hearts. Our hearts always need to be refreshed in the power of the Holy Spirit at every moment. That's why it's a never-ending stream of the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our mind finishes thoughts and truths, but our heart always has to come back and refresh in them. Because the knowledge of our mind without the power of the Holy Spirit filling our hearts is dead and meaningless and lifeless. Can I get an amen for that? So this morning, it may seem a very simple thought to be thankful this morning. It may seem like a very simple thought to be thankful to somebody. I already know that up here, Pastor Sean, but does your heart know that this morning? So I want you to turn to somebody, and I want you to look thankful right now. Look thankful. Now, the other person, look at them and say, you don't look thankful at all. I mean, come on, up the game just a little bit, would you? Because if that's thankful, I'm not feeling good right now. All right, look one more time with increased thankfulness at the person. Look around. Somebody look at Todd Davis. Say, does he look thankful this morning? All right, thankful. Sharon in the back, how thankful does she look? She looking thankful? What do you think? Adrian, all right, thumbs up. All right. Don't let what you know in your head replace what's supposed to be in your heart this morning. It doesn't matter that you know to be thankful. It matters that you are. And only the Holy Spirit can do that in you this morning. Don't let your mind give you an excuse not to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning. Because it's what's here that counts. Up here is always there. It's always there. It's here that counts. We've got to be thankful. And this is the tenor of John as he shares. He shares with a thankfulness, with an expectancy, with the joy that he's been giving because he has seen, he has heard, and he has touched, he's experienced life. He's known Jesus. He remembered when Jesus called him out of the boat, out of fishing, and said, come follow me. He remembers that. He remembers Jesus taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and doing something fresh. He remembers what it has been for Christ to love the unlovable. And he remembers when Jesus lived out a mission of love despite the hatred around him. He's remembering these things. He's experienced these things. These things aren't just in his mind. They're in his heart. And the Holy Spirit is bringing them to life again. He's touching in a fresh way the life of Jesus as he's sharing it. And as he's sharing it, he's saying, I'm declaring it to you so that your joy may be filled with my joy. So how I'm thankful, you might be thankful. And so as he does this, he shares what he prays for and what he hopes for the people around him. And I just want to take that simple acronym of SHARE, and I want to say this morning, these words and these points, they have no magic to them. They're no power in themselves. No, what you've got in your sermon notes is there's one thing that has the power of God in it. That's called the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That has power. But all these words that we're about to do this morning, all they are is a starting point. They're a holding on to a point. They're a stepping off point for the Holy Spirit to pray through you. And so I put some simple words. If you don't know how to pray it, I don't know what to say. Well, here's some words. Here's some things. But none of that matters because the only power is the Holy Spirit working through us, declaring the gospel. The good news, the victory, the reason that we have hope and life this morning. So I see that John starts by declaring all this work about seeing. And so I think the first thing you and I should pray for, whether we're praying for someone in our home, or whether we're praying for someone at work, or we're praying for someone in our community, we're praying for someone halfway around the world that the Lord's told us to pray for, is we pray that they would see a true witness of His life. We pray that they would see a true witness. Because John said, look, I've seen it. I looked at it. It appeared. And you and I need to pray, Lord, help them see it. Lord, help me not to fix it, to nag them, to try to convince them, to manipulate them. God, they need to see Your life. And God, I can't do that. I mean, I can cooperate with it. I can yield. Hopefully, Your life's working in me. But this morning, what I'm asking for, God, is that You would just sovereignly and by Your grace show them Your life. Because as John's thinking about it, it's like, John, I was just in the boat doing my, I was just working Dad's business, and I was just doing my thing, and Jesus, I didn't find You. You found me. Your life showed up to where I was at. I wasn't good enough, smart enough, right enough to go find You. You found me. And so, Lord, show up where they are. And so I think we pray this prayer. We say, Lord, for him, for her, Lord, help them see You. Help Your life to appear to them. Let it be with power. Let it be, Lord, in the power of Your Holy Spirit, some way, somehow. You know, John says it this way. He says to the people of God, he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in this world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and doesn't come from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires, they're passing away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. 1 John 3, but you know that when Jesus appeared, He appeared that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin either has seen Him or known Him. That's not where life is. People see His life when His people hold Him as the greatest priority and live with a joyful purity. Because these things of this world, they're not lasting. There's no life in them. They're temporary. They die all the time. They spring up, they go away. God, if they're going to see Your life, they've got to see somebody with a priority. They've got to see Matt Cox saying, this is the thing I'm thinking about most today, is who Jesus is. And they've got to see a purity in our lives. They've got to see something. They need to see grace and forgiveness. Lord, you know, I need You, but God, they've got to see someone who's died to the old to live to the new. You know, the only way they're going to see the life of Christ in you is see how you die to the things of the world. The only way someone's going to see the life of Christ in you is to see how you've died to the things of this world. Because what's replacing it? What's different? How could you say no? Why don't you do this? Why aren't you about that? Because there's another life in me, a greater life. And this morning, as we pray, what we pray is, God, help them see You. Help them see Your life. Help them see Your mercy and grace. But then John is clear. He talks about what they've heard. And he says, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Interesting that he ties our relationship together as a church with knowing Him. And the blood of Jesus, the main gospel message, His Son purifies us from all sin. It's only the gospel that has the power to create life. John Piper, as he is going through the passage in Romans 1, says, it's as if only the gospel is the place God chooses to say, here's where I'll give you faith. That he births faith in people as they listen to the actual gospel. Apple seeds make apples, and orange seeds make oranges, and the gospel produces real life in people. And we need to remember that gospel message. It's not complicated. It's as simple as saying Jesus is, and then beginning to declare who he is. But it's the gospel and the gospel alone that creates life. They need to hear it. And we need to pray that somebody's beautiful feet goes to tell them. And one of the things we have to pray in this prayer, and it's really interesting because it's an interesting dynamic of our culture, is, boy, Lord, as I'm praying for them to hear the real gospel, Lord, I'm just praying right now, don't let them be distracted by counterfeit Christianity. I don't want to talk about my church. I want to talk about politics. I don't even want to talk about ethics. I want to talk about the gospel. I want to talk about who Jesus is. Because he's the one who draws them to life. I can pound on a coffin and demand that the person inside stop being so dead and acting dead and relating to me like they're dead. I can do that if I want. But nothing creates life except who Jesus is. And I need to declare the gospel to them if I'm tired of them being dead. I need to offer life. And so I want to remind them who Jesus is. And Jesus is all connected to what I know in my own heart. You see, I know that I'm selfish and I'm broken. That's why I'm so happy that Jesus is the Savior. Because he's the only one who can save me from that. And I know I'm hurting. And that's why it's good news to know Jesus is the healer. Because only he's the one who heals. I don't know what to do with my life. And I don't understand how this all works. And that's why it's good news that Jesus is the restorer of my God-given purpose. He's the sanctifier. He figures it out. It's good news who he is. I know I don't do what I should do and that I do what I shouldn't. I get it. I know the right thing in my head, but my heart's not there. That's why it's good news that he is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's the giver of the Spirit. He gives me the strength to do what I can't do. That's good news. And I know, and I grieve, and I struggle with the injustice of this world, that things aren't right. And that there's seemingly so many times there's nothing to do about it. And that's why the gospel tells me Jesus is the soon coming king. Because in his hand is all justice. And at the end of the days, reward happens, justice is served, and the righteous flourish. It's good news. That creates life in me. You telling me that I'm broken doesn't create life in me. You telling me that I'm not doing the right thing doesn't create life in me. You having a pity party with me about how much injustice has ruined my life, it doesn't create life in me. But Jesus and the gospel, that creates life. That's what people need. That's what I need to be praying people around me need. I don't need to be praying that they're coming to my church. I need to be praying that they're hearing the gospel. Because if they hear the gospel, life will happen. And they'll start doing things like people who are alive do. We need to declare the gospel. And John says it throughout all the scripture, but it's not specifically in chapter 1. We've got to pray that they accept the Spirit's work. We've got to pray it. John, he says it in 1 John, there's a few times, John 3, John 2, he's always referencing the work of the Spirit, but it's Apostle Paul who probably says it most directly for what we're interceding about. He says, The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We've got to pray when it just seems like they just think it's a joke. They scoff at it. They laugh at it. They don't think it's important. They only think it's important to listen to. We've got to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. And we just pray a simple prayer. We say, like my plants and my grass, and like this world needs rain, God, you've got to rain on them. You just got to rain on them. You've got to pour out. We've got to pray that prayer, that Holy Spirit come. We got to say to the Lord, look, Lord, I know I'm not the Savior. I'm just what? A sower. I don't create the life. I just plant the seed. God, I'm not the Savior. I've tried to save me. I've tried to save them. That's really not worked out. And now what I need is I need you to pour out your Spirit, because I can plant the seed, but I can't make it grow. And so what I pray is what I pray for myself. Holy Spirit, let your mercies be new every morning. Show them your faithfulness. Touch their heart. Let it be like Genesis 1 when everything's, you know, just chaos and formless. Yet I know, Holy Spirit, you're hovering over this mess. And oh, Lord, it's just when you speak the word that creates light in their life that this will all change. So, Holy Spirit, come. I'm not just a sower. I'm not the Savior. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you to speak into their lives. And then he says scriptures that you and I as Christians should always remember. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. For if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. We need to pray that they repent of their sin and their pride. And we need to make sure that we are not communicating a Christianity for good people who just want to be gooder, right? That's not what this is about. I got saved. My pride, my sin, my control, my attitudes, my pity party, what I was, yeah, that had to be broken. I had to repent of that because there was no life in that. And I needed his life. And I had to say, forgive me. I had to confess. I didn't claim I didn't have sin. And you can't do it either. If you're going to come, it's nice that you want to believe in him. It's nice that you love to be loved. It's nice that you'd like some comfort. But in the end, there's a breaking to all this. Because in the end, I want resurrection life. And so I've got to pray, oh Lord, mercifully but completely break the hardness of their pride, their control, and their will. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone who's been praying for someone to come to Christ. And then in a panic, they come and say, everything's going wrong. Everything's going wrong. This is wrong and that's wrong. I'm like, sounds like breaking to me. Don't pray that God aborts it. Just pray that he's incredibly merciful in it, because it needs to happen. I can try to parent my kids around God all I want. I could try to parent my kids to protect them from the breaking that God wants in their life. Or I could just say, oh, Lord, just really, really mercifully. But do it. Do it so they know they need you. So they know they need you. Because it can rain. And last check time, I checked on the parts of my yard that are like cement. They're supposed to be grass, but they're just cement dirt. Rain doesn't help it without some breaking. The seed's got to get in there. And the rain's got to fall. And it's got to get past just that surface. There's got to be some brokenness in their lives. And I can't sit there and just pray for them to... God, just bless them into repentance. Probably not happening. I mean, it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. But it's his kindness once we're so broken and realize he's still loving us and being kind to us and being faithful to us. when we know we don't deserve it. That's the kindness that leads us to repentance. So we got to pray that prayer as we're praying it for ourselves. I don't know how many times you said, Lord, I know you need to do this, but take it easy on me. Mercy. But do it anyway. Do it. Just be merciful while you're doing it to me, God. And then he says, twice in this passage, he says, so that you may have fellowship with us. If we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. It does matter if they go to church. It does. A lot. Because John says you can't get by it. 1 John is all about how can you say you love the God that you don't see and hate who? The brother that you do see. Who's he referring to? He's referring to church family. When he says brother. He's saying, you know, you can like play all sort of philosophical religious mind games about how do I know if God's really, like, duh, look how you treat the people around you. That's how you know if your life's there. Oh, but not them. You don't know who they are. Yeah, them. Yeah, that's your test. That's showing what you got. It's showing it. And so what we've got to do is we've got to say, oh, Lord, with that life, Lord, let them find grace and healing because newborn babies are, well, they're newborn. And they don't know how to run, and they don't know how to talk, and they don't know how to act, and they don't understand why crying isn't the only thing to do. You better pray they find a good, healthy church family because they're going to need one. And you better pray that you are a good, church, healthy church family because no one likes getting cried to all the time. But guess what? If they're coming, they're coming. So we've got to pray this prayer. We've got to say, Lord, just help them. So it really just comes down to what's working in our own hearts. God, help them see a true witness. Help them hear the gospel. The Spirit's work. Help them repent of pride. You may want to take one of these each for the next 5 days, Monday through Friday. Say, today I'm going to pray for just them seeing your life. And then Tuesday I'm going to pray for the gospel. And Wednesday I'm just going to pray about the Holy Spirit in their lives. And Thursday I'm going to pray for the repentance of sin. And I'm just going to pray that a real church family somehow comes in their lives. And you may know people all along this path. Some people, like, they've said yes to you, but they haven't said to church. It's kind of really hard to do according to 1 John. And I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon to come on up and get us ready because we want to take a moment to pray these prayers together. We want to pray them now. I hope on the back of your sheet you're writing down names of people you're going to pray for this week. And if you got no names on that sheet, you probably need to pray for yourself then. But this is life. You can't fake this. You cannot fake this. I wrote it down, one of the scriptures that John said in John 3:11. He says, this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We know that, and listen to what he says, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life. We know it because we love our brothers. And listen to this next line. Anyone who does not love remains in death. I'm going to read those two sentences again. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Listen to what he says next. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. I was reading some stupid news, like usual. I'm thinking, God, this is never going to work. This is never going to work. And the Holy Spirit worshiped my heart, just whispered our hearts, said, Sean, no one will ever know peace without forgiveness. No one's ever going to know peace without. There's no such thing in this world as peace without forgiveness. These two people, these two parties, these two people groups, these two, social groups, they're yelling. They can yell at each other all they want, and until they try to just until the other person knows how wrong they are. But there's no such thing as peace without forgiveness. At some point, someone's going to have to say, I forgive you. And we've got to know that that's got to be in our hearts too. God, create life. So I'm going to ask us to have a moment of prayer, saying, Lord, let's start in me. And then, Lord, let your life come. We're just going to take a few moments to pray through these together. Yes, Pastor Bram, maybe just lead us in the worship song, get our hearts right. And I'm going to ask one or two of the elders to share a prayer or two with us to begin to lead our time. And then we're just going to pray together. Just finish up that way today. So I'm going to ask if the elders would meet me down here. Would you stand this morning? Let the Holy Spirit work on your heart as we prepare for a time of prayer. Praise you.
Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning with very heavy and humbled hearts. And we cry out, Lord, let them see a witness.
Yes,
just
God.
In the way that we live our lives day to day, Lord Jesus. And everything that we do and that we say, we pray that your life will become more evident to those who are lost, those who are searching, Lord Jesus. You know, we don't ever like to share our brokenness. We don't ever like to let people see how vulnerable we are. But when we do that, we stand as a true witness to who you are, to your love and your grace. Your mercy endures forever, and we love you, Lord Jesus. You know, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived of all that you have prepared for those who love you, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, as we walk day to day, that everyone will see us showing the love that you demonstrate to us, Lord Jesus. You are faithful, you are good, and you are kind.
Yes.
And we give you all the thanks and praise.
And all the church family said, would you take one moment before Roger prays? Would you take one moment to say your own prayer of that person you're praying for seeing the life of Christ? Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Lord, we ask it. We ask it, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Father, today, grant us breakthrough today. God, break the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let it be so. Roger, would you keep us in prayer as we pray over hearing the true gospel?
Oh, Holy Spirit, Father, rain down on us right now. Holy Spirit, rain on us, Father. Holy Spirit, rain on those around us.
Yes.
Father, is in our homes, Lord, in our workplaces, in those divine appointments throughout the week. Rain, Holy Spirit, rain.
Yes.
Father, we may hear your voice as we share Jesus with those
yes.
around us.
Yes.
As they see our lives, Father, reflecting who you are, we just ask, Holy Spirit, reign in our hearts and our spirits
yes.
to be attuned to your Holy Spirit. We thank you.
Thank
you,
Father.
Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Holy
you, Lord.
Spirit, reign.
Praise your name. Would you just take a moment, just pray for that gospel you heard and that spirit to be poured out. Would you just begin to pray that right now? Lord, let it be so. Father, some people here, they're the only person in that gap. They're the only person in a certain place. But Father, Lord, I just pray that the gospel comes either through them, or, Lord, they somehow you bring in another way and they get to testify to it. But, Lord, we just pray that the gospel comes in that place where it's not known. They've got counterfeit Christianity. They got church cultures. They've got political debates. But they don't have the gospel. Lord, let the gospel come through us, oh God. And, Lord, as Roger prayed, dear God, Lord, we just can't do without your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rain down. Come on, ask for it. Ask for it. Just ask for it. God, please, Lord. Please, Lord, hear us. Hear us and respond by the pouring out of your Spirit. And God, if there's some reason we don't understand why the Spirit of God's not moving, and Lord, we don't want to work into condemnation, but if there's anything of brokenness and contriteness of heart and yieldedness that would be more, that would just say, Holy Spirit, come. And Lord, if there's a way, Lord, like every time on Sunday morning, I always kneel down. I always put my face to the ground because I just want to say, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, whatever you call us to do, Lord, don't grip our hearts, oh God. Grip our hearts with that prayer. Holy Spirit, rain down. Grip our hearts. It's our only hope. You said in your word, you receive not. You don't have it because you haven't asked. We ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let it be so. Come on, church. We ask right now for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. It matters that we ask, oh God. Lord, you've given us the ministry of reconciliation. We've got to ask for the Holy Spirit to come. We just ask for it right now. We agree together. We agree together. Dick's going to lead us in prayer just over repentance and as we're praying together.
This song we started out with here, the Holy Spirit. One word stands out in that song. That song has rang in my heart for years. And there's one word in that whole song that is a turning point for the church, and that is desperation. Are you desperate for God? Are you desperate for the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you so desperate that the only way that you can do what you are called to do is a desperation for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you desperate? Are you reckoning yourself dead in Christ and it's no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you? That's the kind of repentance God is looking for. Looking for one that depends wholly upon Him and none on the flesh.
Yes.
When the service started, I had a scripture I wanted to share. This, and I want to share this with you very quickly. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you.
He rises
to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait upon Him.
Amen.
When the Lord speaks to your heart, do you wait upon Him to empower you to do what He's called you to do, or do you start doing it in the flesh? And when we start doing it in the flesh, it will produce nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would open our eyes and our ears, Lord God, our eyes to see and our ears to hear, Father God, as you begin to speak deep into our soul, into our spirit, Father God, that we would, Lord, call out in desperation, Father God, that you would change us. We'd reckon ourselves dead in Christ, that we no longer live, but you live in us, Father God. And what people would see is not the flesh of man, but the Spirit of God when we speak to them, Father God. Father God, that you would anoint our ears to hear, Lord God, our eyes to see, Father God, and you would anoint our lips to speak forth your word, Lord God, the Rhema speaking word of God. For faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Rhema, from the speaking word of God, Lord God. When you speak to our hearts, Lord God, and we say yes, Lord God, and we reckon ourselves dead in you, Lord God, you, Lord God, begin to work through us, Father God. You begin to do the work, and only you can bring salvation to the lives of the people, not us, oh God. But Lord God, we want to be your vessel, Lord God, for the salvation of those that want to know you, Lord God. Lead us, Father God. Let us hear your voice, Father God. When we see somebody, Lord God, give us a word from you, Lord God, to speak life into them, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, because Jesus is our salvation.
Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. I really sense the Lord calling some others to the altar this morning. Just calling because the Lord loves humility. He loves repentance. He's merciful and good, and He loves humility. He's drawn to it this morning as we continue to pray this morning. If you feel that call, just to respond in humility to the call of repentance and the call of brokenness, is going to invite you to come to the altar as we continue to pray this morning. And as some are doing that, let's just continue to pray, Lord. We just pray for repentance. Lord, give us wisdom to know how to understand what it is. Lord, to not condemn the brokenness, but not resist it. To tell our world they are broken. Our homes are broken. And God, we want to humble ourselves in the midst of that home, in the midst of that nation. And we don't want to be rescued from our brokenness, but we do want to be healed. And Lord, there's a difference between being rescued and being healed, because Lord, to be rescued is to somehow delay what really needs to happen. We need a healing. It needs surgery. It needs the doctor. It needs the great physician. And God, all of us, we're just so troubled that we've got to go and face what's broken. And we want to be rescued from facing it. But you want us to face it and then be healed in it. Lord, I pray especially for some, Lord, I pray for grace for those who know, even in their own lives and in the lives of some they love, this process that has to happen. Would you take a moment to pray that? And Chuck is going to pray about that issue of church fellowship, about coming into the fellowship where life is truly seen and verified because we're in fellowship with his body. Would you take a moment to pray those prayers?
Father, you've declared in your word that you are a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Father, we pray that this would be a place that you would be pleased to call your holy dwelling for those in need, those who are suffering, Lord, in every way, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Lord, would come and find your healing balm. Lord, you said that you set the lonely in families. You lead forth prisoners with singing. Father, lead them as you free them with your gospel. Lord Jesus, you told a story of a great banquet. Father, you have commanded us to prepare a feast for those who are coming. Lord, you said that we were to go quickly into the streets and alleys of a town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, "Sir, what you've ordered has done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out into the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full." Father, we thank you that in the sweet fellowship of your presence amongst your people, there is healing, Lord.
Yes.
You command us to fill it, Lord. You have an appointed group of people, Lord, that you want to be in this place of fellowship, of healing in your holy dwelling. Father, may this be a place of light.
Yes.
And peace and acceptance. Father, make this place your holy dwelling as the brothers dwell together in unity, Lord. May the oil of your presence, Lord, just flow from here, Lord. And heal those broken wounds, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And may there be singing here. May there be singing in the streets, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
All to the glory of God.
Yes.
We praise you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. As you continue to stay before the Lord. If there's anyone here this morning, say, "Pastor Sean, I just need grace. I just need some new, fresh grace poured out of my life." I'm going to ask you just, you don't have to look up right there. I just ask you to raise a hand if that's you this morning. I just need fresh grace this morning. Would you just lift a hand this morning? Would you lift a hand nice and high this morning? I need fresh grace this morning. Fresh grace this morning. I'm going to ask you, just hold that hand up this morning. Just hold that hand up. Grace comes through his body. I'm just going to ask, if you haven't lifted your hand up this morning, that you turn and you find someone who has their hand up this morning. you do that this morning? If your hand's not up, if your hand's up, you don't have to look around. You just keep your, you just, whatever the Lord wants to do this morning. But if someone does, if you don't have your hand up, would you look around for someone who does? Others, would you just join those in prayer here up at the front for a moment? Because the scripture's clear that grace is administered through his people. Don't let anybody not have an extra grace of prayer this morning. Lord, we didn't come to have a service this morning. We came to be in your presence. Your family, your people, your children before you. Lord, I know there might be a few in here. They don't really know you. I pray today that, Father, they be convicted of the Holy Spirit's call. And not for condemnation, but for life. For everything that, Lord, is true. That the gospel says, I pray that they would turn to you this morning. They know in their heart where they're at with you. Lord, don't let them live in religious covered death, but Lord, let them know true life. And I pray right now, that grace would be extended in a fresh way, a fresh pouring out of grace upon each person here that has lifted their hand and just said, Lord, I just want you to reign in my own heart today in a fresh way. I want you to reign in my heart in a fresh way. Lord, let grace flow. For there's nothing too difficult for you. We just praise your name this morning. Grace. Shouts of grace. Finishing the work you've begun with shouts of grace. Never our own effort. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, there is grace upon grace for those of us who are willing to confess our need for it. Lord, you know our hearts, and sometimes we know we need grace, but we need grace to receive the grace. That's where grace upon grace comes from. It's there. So I pray that fresh outpouring on every person here, regardless of what they've indicated today. Because, Lord, we love you, and we need you, and we are nothing without you. May our faith and our understanding of the Holy Spirit's power be as strong with our eyes open, walking in the midst of our regular work week as it is in this moment when we are in your house with our eyes closed, finally drowning out all the noise and hearing from you. We are grateful and we commit all of this to you, praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And our prayer for the lost, Lord of the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We ask you to send out workers into your harvest field and cause us also to go and give you glory. Feel free to enjoy the presence of the Lord, and as you go to the life groups and continue to offer that grace to one another, and enjoy a week of intercession as you pray Jesus would be shared.